Hi, this is Alan Chartok, and I'm delighted to be in conversation today with Dr. Andrew Mandel. Dr. Mandel is the leader of Strong East Ramapo, a volunteer advocacy group of over 3,000 alumni and other supporters of public education in favor of state oversight for the East Ramapo School District. He attended district schools as a child, and he has worked in public school for the past 15 years, first as a classroom teacher and now running professional development for teachers and their coaches through Teach for America. He received his doctorate in education from Teachers College, Columbia University, and resides in Manhattan. His family continues to live in the district. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
Tell me about yourself. You're Jewish.
I am Jewish.
Now, the reason that's the first question is that this is extremely relevant in our conversation today.
It sure is. And I grew up understanding that the Jewish values of social justice were central to my faith and the way that I should live my life. And so I'm doing that by supporting public education in my district.
Now, there is a backstory here that needs to be told, and I want you to take your time with it and tell us how it came to be that one group migrated to the East Ramapo district and has sort of taken over the politics of that district.
Sure. So East Ramapo is a very diverse community and has been for a while now. When I grew up, I worked at the public library and we called it the United Nations. We have a large Haitian community, a large Latino immigrant community, and a large Hasidic Jewish community. And for many years that worked out. The Hasidic community attended yeshivas and didn't really get involved in public education. However, in more recent years, the religious community decided to use its numbers and its political power to take over the school board. The school board is now a supermajority of religious families represented. And
of Hasidic families.
That is correct.
Okay.
Religious Jewish families, Hasidic families.
Let's take a second, if you would, Andrew, to tell us what a Hasidic Jew is compared to other Jews.
Sure. So the Hasidic community is an ultra-Orthodox sect of Judaism. There are actually many different kinds of ultra-Orthodox Jews. They prescribe to a very traditional way of being. So you may have seen men wearing black hats, wearing their beards quite long, women dressed very conservatively, and following the strictest of interpretations of Jewish law.
So give me some of those interpretations that they might be following.
So during the Sabbath, for example, the Hasidic community certainly would not be driving or using electricity. So if you drove through Muncie, New York, which is one of the towns in East Ramapo, you would notice that people are walking and not using their cars. Another commandment is to be fruitful and multiply. So Hasidic families often have large families. And in fact, now there are 24,000 religious private school students in East Ramapo as compared to the 9,000 public school students, which makes it a very unusual and lopsided situation.
Before we get into that, which is really pregnant in terms of where we're going with this, how come there was this in-migration among Hasids into the district that tipped the balance the way that it has? You said it started out as being, United Nations. Now it's not.
Well, you know, I can't really speak to what led to the increase of families deciding to reside in the district. You know, families have grown, certainly. Yeah. But I do know that in other parts of New York State, there have been attempts by the religious community, the ultra-Orthodox community, to use public institutions, specifically schools, to improve the private education of children. And I think that as those attempts have been somewhat successful, that may have encouraged the folks in East Ramapo to do the same in our district.
Okay, so now what has happened is because of this in-migration, because of this group of people that have taken over, you know, the educational process, they voted. And what was the result of all that voting?
So now the supermajority of the school board are parents or advocates of private school families, of the families attending the yeshivas of Rockland County.
Now, when you say the word supermajority, this is very important to we political scientists. What is it?
So that means that beyond any type of attempt to prevent the majority from You know, a simple majority would be 5 out of 9 members.
Right.
But a supermajority would be able to withstand any type of challenge to the school board's momentum.
So the Hasidic members of the community elected a school board which reflects their views. And what's so bad about that?
Well, nothing is bad about that in theory. You know, anyone who lives in the district is under law entitled to be a member of the school board. What has been problematic is in practice, the school board has systematically dismantled public education.
How have they done that?
In a few ways. The first is that they have basically created the most bare bones budget possible. So kindergarten, which used to be full day, is now 2 hours a day.
Oh, my God.
Over 400 positions have been slashed in a district with 9,000 children. No more social workers, no more art, no more music, the things that were the hallmark of East Ramapo in its heyday and reasons why people moved to East Ramapo are no longer part of the district. Advanced classes have been reduced, and the school board has sold elementary school buildings that had children in them to private yeshivas at discount rates, so low that the appraiser ended up being indicted.
The appraiser ended up being indicted.
Indicted.
I take it the appraiser that they hired
Correct.
Was of their philosophy.
Presumably. Presumably.
I see.
And so, you know.
What was he indicted for?
For basically short-selling the buildings.
Okay.
Yeah. So the combination of all of these things, at one point the school board president suggested that we should eliminate graduation because that was a superfluous expense. All these things has created tremendous animosity, of course, in the community. On top of that, the school board has been cited by the state education department for unlawful use of special education placements in private schools.
What's that mean?
So this is a very interesting case that actually is very, very timely because it's reached a new milestone this past Friday. I'll try to explain it briefly. So the school board has decided to use the special education services of the public schools in a very limited way, and instead is rubber stamping private school parents' wishes to use private services, religious services, for their special education. Because all children in New York State are entitled to special education services. However, it should not be the case that a district is just allowing its bank account to be used as a piggy bank for private services. And yet that is what the district has been doing. So in 2010, this has been going on for 5 years. So in 2010, the State Education Department cited the district for these out-of-code, unlawful placements. There were so many placements happening all at once that the department said, it's impossible that you really did evaluate these case by case as you should be doing. That would indicate that you had successfully followed the law. So the department cited the district 6 different times over the course of 2 years. The district did not comply. And in fact, the district in 2012 sued the state education department using the district's money to basically dispute the notion that it would be unlawful for them to do what they have done.
Did they win?
They lost in the Supreme Court. And Hank Greenberg, the former federal prosecutor hired by the state education department to investigate the board, saw these legal fees, called them absurd in his report to the Board of Regents in November of 2014. In December of 2014, the board hired $650 an hour lawyers to appeal that Supreme Court ruling. And on Friday, the appeals court just ruled against the board again.
The board of East Ramapo, which of course is elected by the Hasid majority.
That is correct. And so that is millions and millions of dollars that is not going to the education of these 9,000 mostly low-income children of color. And in fact, in the most recent budget, the school board proposed that there would be 50 seats in full-day kindergarten that they were going to lottery off as a gesture to the public school community out of 700 or 800 children entering kindergarten.
That's disgusting.
It's disgusting. And those millions being spent on lawyers could have paid for everyone to be in kindergarten, which we know is so essential to beginning a productive life.
Now, Andrew, these things get dirty. Now, here you are. The reason that I asked what religion you were was that you're Jewish, and so are they. And quite frequently, I've had my discussions with some folks who think that they are better Jews than other classes of Jews. Has that been the case here? Because there are an awful lot of Jewish people who are on your side of this argument and not theirs.
Well, it certainly is the case that we have garnered tremendous support from the Jewish community. So the American Jewish Committee is supporting us. The Reform Jewish Voice of New York is supporting us.
What's that?
It is the political arm of the Religious Action Center in Washington, D.C., which represents hundreds of rabbis, if not more, in the Reform community. The Orthodox Social Justice Group Uri Litzedek is supporting us. And the Anti-Defamation League just issued a statement in support of the legislation as well.
And that's huge. And what legislation, again, are we talking about?
So Ellen Jaffe, Ken Zabrowski, and David Carlucci, who are the lawmakers from Rockland County, have proposed bills 5355 in the Assembly and 3821 in the Senate, which would bring a monitor to the East Ramapo School Board as a way to A, bring transparency to what's happening, because the school board often goes into executive session for hours and the community has no idea what is happening, and be able to overrule decisions of the board. If they are selling buildings and making those private placements improperly, as well as oversee a strategic improvement plan for the district. Because frankly, you know, the district is both failing financially. It's, I think, the third most fiscally distressed district in New York State.
And what does that mean?
That means that it is basically out of money. It at one point had millions in reserves. But after the state refused to reimburse the district for those special education placements, among other reasons why the money is dwindling, the school board just used the reserves of the district to pay those costs.
Has anybody raised, since many of the kids and the 9,000 who remain who are not in the Hasidic group, has anybody raised the potential that this is racist?
Oh, certainly, certainly. The NAACP is just one of several different groups who are deeply concerned about the civil rights violations that are happening for these children. I mean, it is very, very disturbing that it is these children of color from African-American and Latino families who are the target of basically the theft of the education of the children attending the district.
For those people who are listening, another charge has been made, and that is that some of the Hasidic community leaders have said that this is all anti-Semitic.
They definitely have. And I think we look to the fact that the Rockland Board of Rabbis supports this bill. As I mentioned, very prominent Jewish organizations are supporting this bill. And as a Jewish person myself, it is frankly offensive to me that people would use anti-Semitism in such a cavalier way when there are much more serious and legitimate issues that that term would apply to. In this case, using it as a shield to avoid criticism is cowardly from my perspective.
So because we have such strong civil rights tradition in this country, is there anything that can be done in terms of a suit that would, not in terms of a specific part of the law, but a suit about depriving these students of their educational possibilities?
Indeed. So there is a litigation route and a legislative route, and the litigation route has been going on for several years now. So there have been several lawsuits filed against the district with a public interest law firm, Advocates for Justice, and that is slow going, but it is ongoing.
Why is it so slow going?
Well, it's a good question. I'm not exactly sure why, because to me it seems like the points are pretty clear. Although, as you mentioned, sometimes some of the legalities, you know, the board is good in attempting to work just within the law. Now, some of the things that the board has done have been deemed unlawful by the state education department. So I would imagine that those would be the things that a court could seize upon. So I'm not exactly sure why it's taking so long.
What about the governor in all of this?
Well, Governor Cuomo, in February, he came to Rockland County and he said that he would sign a bill if it came to his desk. And in fact, last week, when the Assembly Education committee passed the bill. Simultaneously to that vote happening, Governor Cuomo was in Rockland County again. He was asked by the media about East Ramapo, and he said that he was pressing the assembly and pressing the Senate to pass this bill.
Well, he's got a lot of clout in the assembly. Makes sense. Democrats and all. Mm-hmm. But the Republicans have their reasons, don't they, for not supporting this legislation?
Well, I've heard a few reasons, and we've met with Senator Flanagan several times.
He's the new leader.
He is the new leader. He was the education chair, so we had met with him when he was in that position as well. And he has given a lot of his time to East Ramapo, so I do want to definitely appreciate and acknowledge him for that. And he has been frank with us that this bill concerned him. His chief reason was that this would set a precedent that worried him. To have a monitor come in and be able to override the decisions of a duly elected board, that concerned him. So here's my rebuttal to Senator Flanagan's worry. The first is that this bill is specifically and explicitly tailored to East Ramapo. So it actually doesn't apply to any other district.
But it does set a precedent.
Well, it may be a template for other districts, but no other district could use it as is.
Okay.
And presumably, the legislature would evaluate on a case-by-case basis whether such a measure would be needed in another situation. And frankly, if another district was facing exactly what we were facing, they should have a monitor from my perspective. But certainly we don't want that power to be given in a cavalier fashion.
We are talking to Dr. Andrew Mandel, who is the leader of Strong East Ramapo, a volunteer advocacy group of over 3,000 alumni and other supporters of public education in favor of oversight for the East Ramapo School District. So, Andrew, I wanted to ask you some practical politics questions. Who's the senator from the district?
Senator David Carlucci.
And what is Carlucci's politics?
So Carlucci is part of the IDC.
This is the Independent Democratic Conference, which just some people call, you know, names because they went over to the Republican side mm-hmm. to assist the Republicans in maintaining the majority. So mm-hmm. that's what Carlucci does, right?
So that is his affiliation, and he is one of the co-authors of the bill. He, along with the assembly members, Jaffe and Zabrowski, worked together to author the bill.
So this is the bill that would put the monitor in place, yes?
That's correct.
Yes. So why isn't it moving?
So I think that this question around the precedent-setting nature of the bill has...
Well, now that's the excuse, but why
right.
isn't it really moving?
Well, you know, I would ask you the same question, because honestly, the...
Good thing I'm the interviewer and you're the answerer.
Indeed. The Rockland County School Board Association
yep.
supports this bill. The Alliance for Quality Education supports this bill. The New York City Bar Association supports this bill. Organizations that wouldn't necessarily be apt to want to expand the powers of the state. You know, the Alliance for Quality Education and Governor Cuomo never agree on anything, and they agree on this. The School Boards Association has East Ramapo as one of its members. It isn't apt to wish constraints on one of its members. And in this case, it believes that this would ease the tensions in the county and is the right thing to do. So your guess is as good as mine in terms of why this isn't moving. It is baffling to me.
Well, I got plenty of guesses. One is that when you get a group and they vote as a unified block, somebody indicates this is the way we're going. You don't want to mess with them if you're a politician. So that while Carlucci has enabled the Republican majority to be there, one wonders how definite that Republican majority is towards getting this bill passed. I wonder about that. But I do want to ask you about the way that this is unfolding. It's most unpleasant, and you said to diffuse some of the tensions that are going on. What are those tensions?
You know, I attend school board meetings regularly, and it is ugly. The community of public school parents are very active and very vocal in attempting to advocate for their children.
Well, putting it on the table, these are people who are at the lower economic part of the social spectrum, right?
Well, indeed. And oftentimes the parents are working for the ultra-Orthodox families in the construction business or as house cleaners. So it is a very upsetting economic relationship in some cases.
Huh. And when you're at the meeting, can you characterize what the audience looks like?
So the audience is largely Latino families. That is the predominant population represented in the meetings. Mothers, fathers, children. And that's another reason why I am so disturbed by these executive sessions. When the board convenes the meeting, pretty much almost automatically goes into executive session for hours. And the families are just sitting there waiting, often chanting for the superintendent to resign or for the board.
Who is the superintendent? Who they got?
The superintendent's name is Joel Klein, not New York City former schools chancellor Joel Klein, who actually supports our bill, but a different Joel Klein who has been around in Rockland County for a while, but is relatively new to the district. The district has gone through several superintendents and they found someone who is willing to work with them and willing to represent their point of view.
Or as we say in politics, we'll wake with you. Okay, so there's chanting going around on in the room.
Oh, yeah, there's chanting, there are protests. Families often will stand up, and at one point they stood up and turned their backs to the board. I mean, various things happen. Sometimes there are police present. I mean, it's a very tense environment.
And where have the police been in all of this? Do you have a sense that they're either on one side or the other?
No, I don't. I feel like the police have not really been a strong presence one way or the other. It really has been, I mean, it's a very bizarre and surreal scene to see a school board of all men, and up until recently, 7 out of the 9 men were ultra-Orthodox, and the families in the audience are all people of color who don't often even understand the language being spoken by the board members, who not only are speaking English when the family's first language is Spanish, but often are not speaking in a clear and friendly way that would allow people to understand even what they're saying.
Have there been outbreaks of what we could call violence? Have there been fistfights? Have there been people spitting in anybody else's face? Is there anything like that?
There has been no such violence. It's just been all verbal, but it has definitely gotten heated. And I certainly wouldn't want it to become violent, but I think if this bill were not to pass, I think people would not really know what to do. I think people would feel at a total loss.
Well, we're at the end of the legislative session.
Yes, we are.
You got the bill, which is doing well in the Assembly, not as well in the Senate.
Correct. And
for the reason I suspect that I told you. Mm-hmm. What about the rest of Rockland County? Now you have a county exec. What's he doing?
Well, he will be joining us tomorrow for our press conference, right, where we will be pushing once more for the bill to come to the floor. He's been great. And both the county executive, who's a Republican, Ed Day, as well as our Rockland County legislature, which is majority Democrat.
But now Day got elected unexpectedly, even though he was, in my opinion, courageous about his position, right, on
yes,
this thing?
That is true. That is true. And the Rockland County legislature has followed suit and passed a resolution in support of the bill as well. So this has bipartisan support in Rockland County. Mayors have signed on. The town supervisors have signed on. Only the people who are benefiting from the favoritism of this board.
Okay, so, you know, you're in a tough spot, Andrew Mandel. You know, you're a leader in all of this. The overwhelming Jewish community is supportive of your position. Civil rights groups are supportive of your position. The county legislature is supportive of your position. But as you just said, you're in trouble in making this any change here.
Well, you know, all we can do is hope. I mean, this is my first major political action. You know, I'm a volunteer. I care deeply about my hometown, about educational equality, about representing the Jewish community in a positive way. And I have just tried to maintain positivity this entire time. You know, I'll tell you a personal story that folks very close to me early on told me the block vote is extremely strong. It's impossible to break through. The powers that be in Albany are not going to be swayed by this issue. And over time, as we have celebrated brick by brick, each little victory, you know, of 100 more supporters on our Facebook group, or the next assembly member who has decided to be courageous and sign on as a co-sponsor of this bill, or larger and larger organizations that are signing on, such that now we have a New York Times editorial that came out last week that is a strongly worded editorial headlined, "When a School Board Victimizes Kid." I mean, who would have thought that that would have been possible? So I've just got to put my eggs in the basket of faith at this point. But, you know, I do have to be realistic at the same time and recognize that Albany is a complex place and certain things are out of our control. And if we're not successful this time, of course, we will continue to go at it in this route. But there may be other routes that we haven't explored that aren't legislative in nature. Or maybe there are other creative solutions. Because actually, you know, Senator Flanagan is not completely opposed to the notion of oversight in East Rampo and has said so. He just...
Again, Senator Flanagan is the new leader who took Dean Skelos' place, yes.
Correct. He said that he just didn't like the specifics of this bill. And so he hasn't been specific about that. However,
I think that's mealy mouth, to tell you the truth. I mean, you're not going to say it because, you know, you're obviously, you know, more politic than that. But I can say it because I don't like it. I mean, I think it's a way of saying, well, if the sky was pink instead of blue, I'd be for it. It doesn't hold here.
Well, you know, I'm trying to exhaust every possible avenue. So if there is,
well, you're not
going to
be mean about the state Senate.
Certainly not.
Why would you do that?
Certainly not. But if there is a policy solution that someone else sees for this issue that would address the crisis.
Well, has Senator Flanagan given you such a policy?
He has not. And that has been frustrating. And he has said that he and his conference would be discussing this issue, but I have not seen evidence of that up until now.
I'm so surprised.
Well, but he did say that when he was education chair, and now he's the leader of the Senate. So I do recognize there are a lot of things on his plate. However, we really do need that information from the Senate leadership, because that would at least allow us to figure out what to do next. Because right now we kind of feel like we may be flying blind.
Okay. So one of the things that obviously everybody worries about here is that the position of the Hasidic community in this is pretty unpopular. One of the reasons that I think that Mr. Day won was that there's a lot of other people who live in Rockland County other than in East Ramapo. Mm-hmm. And therefore, people said, I don't like this. I don't like the way those people are behaving. Mm. What about anti-Semitism? You're a Jew. I'm a Jew. We worry that, you know, this will not reflect well on the Jewish community.
Indeed. And in fact, at a school board meeting, when the school board went into executive session,
sure,
one of the parents of the Latino community got up and spoke on the microphone and asked the audience in Spanish, how many of you all work for the Jews? And
the Jews.
Many hands went up. And he said, and look, the Jews are trying to take away our education and et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, this man was not politically correct and was saying things that, you know, were upsetting to me. I understood where he was coming from. He didn't really have the right collective noun to use as he was describing the perpetrators of the inequity, but I could understand why someone would consider that to be anti-Semitic. So I got up in that meeting and I dusted off my Spanish and I said, ladies and gentlemen, I am with you. And there was a big cheer. And then I said, and I am Jewish. And the room was silent. And then there was a big cheer. And later on, that man in a subsequent meeting came up to me and he said, are you really, really Jewish? And I said, yes, I really, really am. And he said very earnestly and genuinely, I don't believe it. Because that is has been his only experience with Jewish people up until that point. And now that on Facebook, you know, we're using social media deeply, and we're publicizing all of these Jewish groups that are supporting us. And he recently posted something in Spanish saying, thank you so much, Jewish rabbis from other places that are supporting us. I can see his views changing just by being exposed to other people who share the same background but aren't operating in the same way. So I don't think there's any excuse for anti-Semitism. I also think that the actions of the school board are breeding a type of hate that people then who don't have any other exposure to Jewish people are then internalizing. So it's a very tricky thing. It's very upsetting. And that's why it's been so important for me to work with other Jewish groups, to work with the Rockland Clergy for Social Justice, which has many rabbis in its coalition, to attempt to be very clear about what the Jewish position truly is.
So look, in the Christian community, there are different denominations, obviously.
Yes.
Especially in Latin America, you get Pentecostal, you get Catholic, you have other more traditional Protestant denominations. How do you get that across to this audience?
Well, I think that the audience is now seeing the ideological diversity. I think it is about exposure because, honestly, you asked me earlier, you know, what is the makeup of the audience at the school board? It was overwhelmingly parents of color. And the school board is overwhelmingly ultra-Orthodox. So it makes sense to someone who doesn't know very much that that is what Judaism is. So then when they meet someone else who identifies as Jewish and then meets a whole bunch of other people and sees rabbis standing in front of them who are listening to them, who are encouraging them, who are calling them brothers and sisters, that is, I'm sure, a very disorienting experience for people who don't have a lot of exposure, but ultimately a very educational one.
So, of course, we will invite the people on the Hasidic side to come in and spend some time with us.
Good. I hope you do.
No, I said we always will. And,
okay.
And we are. However, let me ask you my lie detector question. I frequently ask people that question. Lie detector. You put a lie detector on the arm, let's say, of the Hasidic leadership.
Okay.
And you say to them, is what you are doing to these 9,000 poor kids justifiable?
Hmm.
And they say, yes, it is justifiable because, mm-hmm. you know, we're the age. Do you get a straight line or do you get a wavy line indicating that they're telling a lie?
You know, that's an awesome question because I think it probably depends on who you ask. Because I do think that there are some people who deeply and naively believe that they are doing what they are entitled to.
Based on what? Being God's children or what?
Well, based on the fact that they are the majority of the families attending school in East Ramapo. And their understanding of American politics is that when you are the most numerous, you get to rule. Which is, honestly and frankly, very upsetting conclusion for myself as a Jew to come, you know, to conclude. When we, of all people, know what it is like to be in the minority. And it is a very, to me, uneducated understanding of what it means that, you know, America is a republic. And, you know, James Madison wrote about the tyranny of the majority. And we have many court cases throughout our history that protect the rights of minorities. But I do believe that the line would be straight for those individuals thinking, well, that's what we are paying these taxes and we're not getting anything from them. And so we should be benefiting more than we are. So we feel entitled and we're not doing anything wrong. And in fact, it's the state's fault. That will be the major argument. And I think it is, from their perspective, a genuine argument. The state should be giving us more money. The formula is broken because of this lopsided population that we have. I think many members of the community would say that. Now,
many members of the
religious
community.
Correct.
Yeah.
Exactly. However, I do think, and this is just my opinion, my own impression, is that there are leaders of the religious community who know very well what they are doing and recognize that having a school board meeting at 2 o'clock in the morning to select a lawyer who would be appropriate for orchestrating the real estate deals and the special education deals.
Just to reprise, the selling of school buildings at very low prices to others.
Yeah. To private school, private yeshivas, yes. You know, that is a calculated move. That is not a naive move. That is a the ends justify the means type of thinking. And to me, the lie detector test would fail in that case.
So, just to take this a little bit further, and there will be some who object to my doing it, if you believe that God has spoken to you and says you are justified in doing all of this, that would make for a straight line, wouldn't it, on the lie detector?
Sure. I don't know if that's how the Hasidic community views what is happening, if they believe that God is speaking to them and therefore I haven't heard them make that argument. I've heard them make a much more practical argument of we're here, we're numerous, get used to it.
So have you ever had the privilege or the trial, Andrew, of speaking one-on-one with a leader from the Hasidic community, just you and the leader?
I have spoken with members of the Hasidic community.
Eyeball to eyeball?
Eyeball to eyeball, yes.
One-on-one?
One-on-one.
Okay.
In a public setting.
Okay.
But one-on-one. And I've also spoken with the superintendent one-on-one.
Who is their guy.
And I've really tried to sincerely understand the other point of view
okay.
and offer suggestions about ways of operating that would be more productive. And I've just been blown off. And I'm relatively new to this fight. This fight has been going on for years.
There are others
years.
Like Oscar Cohen and
yes,
others.
Yes, absolutely. And Steve White and yeah. Peggy Hatton. So many people, Betty Carman, who have been working on this for many years. And I know that the NAACP and Willie Trotman had sat down with school board members to try to work this out more informally. And they were told, why would we negotiate? We have the power. And in fact, the former school board president told the public school community that if you don't like what's happening, you should move.
So what in fact becomes the modus operandi in the future? Now, you said they're saying to you, look, we don't have to do what you say because we're in the majority. But you've brought a lot of pressure to bear. You've got the governor, you've got the county legislature, you've got the state assembly, you've got people in the Senate, including your senator.
And including Bill Larkin, a Republican, who's in a little bit of Rockland County and also Orange County.
Right. And to some degree, unless they're really stupid, they got to know that the train is coming down the track here.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't seem to do that, right?
No. It seems like the blinders are on. And if you were to look at social media and see the ridiculous and juvenile ways that the board's supporters are attempting to justify what they're doing, making tweets of Ellen Jaffe's portrait in the Iranian dictator's office. These are the types of rebuttals that they are making or saying that this bill is un-American. They're not backing down. They're not backing down, and they're just throwing a bone here and there to the community with the 50 lotteried seats of kindergarten. Mm. And even the other school board members, you know, the non-Hasidic members of the board have been...
How have they gotten elected?
Their campaigns have been coordinated with the Hasidic members. So they're on the same ticket.
So the Hasidic members know very well that if they put some people up who are not Hasidic, although sympathetic to them is what you're saying,
correct.
You can put them on the board.
Correct. So it's the board votes often unanimously.
Sure.
So those individuals do not represent the interests of the public school community.
So who do they recruit from that group who are willing to take that position?
Yeah, there are a few folks who are willing to do it, and they are criticized bitterly by the public school community. There are other candidates that the public school community has run, but to no avail. And that's actually a very upsetting thing, a very upsetting point, political point that people have made. Well, why don't you just win the elections? That would be the way to solve this. Well, we've already talked about the numerous and powerful position of the block vote. But I also find it objectionable that an elected official who is doing wrongdoing would only be subject to regulation when voters do so versus the state. You know, if I sold you...
Well, morality, just
right,
plain old
right,
morality.
Right. If I sold you a broken air conditioner and then I said, well, if you're hot, you should move to Alaska. You know, that's just unconscionable. I should fix your air conditioner. And similarly, it seems like the state, which has the responsibility for public education in the district, should be regulating this board when they have been found by the state education department to be recklessly mismanaging the district and favoring private schools over public schools.
Well, why isn't that getting done? Is the state Department of Education afraid of them?
The former commissioner, John King,
yes,
who was presiding over this issue when Hank Greenberg gave his report.
Reminding us that Hank Greenberg was hired by the State Department of Education, by the Board of Regents, to look into this, right?
Correct. During that report in November, Commissioner King said, the State Education Department has reached the legal limits of our authority in this matter, and that is why Mr. Greenberg's recommendation to employ an overseer, a monitor, just like in Lakewood, New Jersey, which is what this legislation does, would be appropriate. So state ed has tried it. We mentioned earlier, 6 times citing the district for these out-of-code, unlawful placements in private entities, withholding funds from the district just uses its reserves instead and then sues the state. So clearly a monitor without any power, which is what the school board would like and has advocated for, that's not sufficient for addressing this issue. We need something stronger.
Well, do you ever feel you're getting in too far? In other words, does your family ever look at you and say, you know, come on, Andrew Mandel, aren't you in danger of sort of going over the end on this deep end?
Well, you know, I think it's been a journey for my family to see me get involved and then for them to get involved as well. And my folks have come to school board meetings, and this has definitely become a second full-time job to advocate for this issue.
But what do you do for Teach for America, which is an organization we all love? What do you do for them?
Yeah, so I run professional development for our staff.
I see, for the whole Teach for America staff.
Correct, yeah. Correct. And our staff, of course, works with our core members. We have 10,000 core members around the country, right, as well as our alumni. So I actually do values-based leadership work, try to help people figure out what they believe deeply about justice, about equality, about children, and how they can express those values in action. And honestly, this experience has enabled me to do so in a public way.
Yeah. So now you're going back to the earlier question. Do you ever feel you're in danger by becoming too enmeshed in this and facing all of these frustrations?
When you say in danger, what do you mean?
Mentally. I mean, you know, are you getting over the top? Are you? I've seen this happen before where people get into something, they get frustrated, they get stopped at every turn, you know, and they get unhappy with themselves.
Yeah, no, I haven't reached that point. I hope I don't, but thanks for your concern about it. Yeah. I do think that what has given me momentum and hope is seeing people learn about this issue and get on board. That has primarily been my experience over time. There are a few very powerful folks who have not yet fully gotten on board, which is making this frustrating.
Now, who are they?
I mean, the Senate leadership has acknowledge that this is a problematic issue, but has not, as we talked about earlier, named what we can do about it beyond the solution that has been put forth by our lawmakers.
Well, why aren't they doing that? I mean, Carlucci, the IDC member who obviously enables the Senate to stay in Republican hands, tells you he's on your side. But how do we really know that?
Well, I mean, he's authoring the bill. So presumably he has some interest in making it happen, and I, you know, trust that that
well,
is...
but he's getting credit for authoring the bill, but how do you know what's going on in that conference, that secret conference of the Republicans have?
Well, I don't know. What I do know is that the IDC is co-sponsoring the bill, so all of the members of the conference, besides the leader, who I'm not sure co-sponsors bills.
Hugh Klein.
Correct. But the other members, Avella and Savino and Valesky, all are on board with this bill. The Republicans have been much slower, as have the Democrats. Although Andrea Stewart-Cousins, the minority leader, has expressed her support for the bill and has written a letter to the Senate leader indicating that she wishes him to bring it to the floor. The Democratic conference more broadly has...
Let me ask you a question. Andrew, if it was brought to the floor...
Yes.
If it was brought to the floor, because we know that quite frequently bills are not brought to the floor.
Correct.
Because a coalition of Democrats and Republicans would pass it. And in fact, there's something called the Hastert rule in Congress, meaning if a majority of the majority isn't for it, it doesn't come to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So my question would be, if it came to the floor, would it pass?
We think it could.
Have you counted noses?
We believe that if the Democratic conference... Even if we lost a vote or two in the Democratic conference, because some of those folks do have very large ultra-Orthodox constituencies who would be very upset if their representative voted for us, even if we had the vast majority of the Democratic conference, plus the IDC, plus several Republicans who have signed on or have indicated their support, we would pass this bill.
Well, you said before, and I was somewhat taken aback when you said it, that, you know, you had some problems with the Republicans, but you also thought there were some Democrats who weren't embracing this. Who are they and why?
Well, certainly Simcha Felder, who
is a Democrat in name only and who votes with the Republicans.
Correct. And there are other senators.
He's an Orthodox Jewish guy.
Correct.
Yeah.
And there are a few other senators who represent Orthodox groups who would not be in favor. In the Assembly, very sadly, Walter Mosley, assemblyman from Brooklyn, had been a co-sponsor of this bill.
I know.
And he reversed his position after being approached by former school board president Aaron Weider, who convinced him that this bill was anti-Semitic.
And Weider is from Rockland County.
He is. He is an ultra-Orthodox man himself.
Yes.
A Hasidic man. And he has been advocating vigorously to kill this bill. And I don't know what type of deal was struck with Assemblyman Mosley. I don't know why Assemblyman Mosley would not meet with me and the rabbis from the Rockland Clergy for Social Justice when we requested a meeting to have him explain to us why he was calling us anti-Semitic. I don't know why he wouldn't do that, but he voted against us in the Assembly Education Committee.
So you don't think it's obvious that when politically threatened, some people will sell out?
Well, what's odd is that his district is Fort Greene, is Clinton Hill, is Prospect Heights, and is a small part of Crown Heights.
Yeah.
So the majority of his voters are people of color and liberal white people. So it seemed very odd to me that he would make that choice unless there's some other carrot being dangled. I don't know. I know that perhaps a congressional seat may be in play at some point. I haven't spoken to Mosley because he won't speak with me. So it would be unfair for me to say what his motives are. But that has been a disillusioning aspect of this whole drama.
So how far do you go in winning? I mean, to what extent would you go to win? Let's assume that people have either implicitly or not so specifically been threatened on the other side. Would you threaten?
Well, it's funny you say that because, you know, I am new to Albany, but I have some political advisors who have emerged as mentors to me. And this one very wise woman said to me in her thick New York accent, "Andrew, Albany is run by two things, greed and fear. And you don't have enough money to pay the politicians off. So you got to scare them." And I'm not really a scary person. We brought 350 people to Albany several weeks ago, 7 buses of families and community members from East Ramapo. We're bringing more folks, and that's what we can do. We're trying to mobilize people from across the state to apply pressure to the senators from Long Island and upstate, et cetera. And if we're unsuccessful this time, I guess we have to make better and more powerful friends.
Well, Andrew Mandel, I want to tell you something. I've been around for a while, and I have to tell you, the Republicans control the Senate by the skin of their teeth. And anything that threatens to take all that power away from them is meaningful in all of this. So if that's what they're doing, and if that's why people say we don't need this in the state Senate majority, because let me tell you, the last thing those guys want to do is be in the minority and, in fact, having people do unto them what they've done to the Democratic minority all the time. And it looks like they could be in real trouble because Hillary Clinton's going to run for president, and that could be the end, as we've seen presidential years in New York State. So my sense of it is it all lies in their ability to mobilize an electoral majority. And if one were to make the case that we will mobilize against you if you're not with, this will be a salient decision for us on this bill, it would help.
Yeah, I mean, that is definitely the argument that we are trying to make.
Not trying to. You got to be very specific here if that's what you're going to do. I mean, what am I? I'm not a consultant, but it seems to me
I'll take your advice.
Seems to me that's the way it's always been done. Yeah.
Certainly,
it's the way we see this fracking, for example.
Yeah, I mean, we see this as a wedge issue. We do. And the trick is to get folks outside of Rockland County to care about this.
Well, that's not so hard, is it?
Well, I mean, because it only technically at this moment affects Rockland County.
Andrew, listen, if you were to ask, do a stratified probability sample of voters in New York State and say, what's going on in the East Ramapo district? They're going to say, we don't know.
Mm.
You know, I know. And I was late to the game, believe me, I was, in terms of being approached on this. But most people have no idea what this is all about. Your deal is going to have to be doing what you're doing here today, getting it out there.
Yeah, it's true. And I feel like the Times editorial was a big boost in this direction because up until this point, it really has been local media.
So how many people really read the Times editorial page? and you know,
well, and This American Life, I have to give credit to NPR because This American Life did its episode in September, a whole hour on East Ramapo before the legislation. So maybe I can use this opportunity to encourage This American Life to come back and record the next chapter because, you know, there's been a whole new saga that's happened now that we've been trying to pass this bill. But that brought 2 million people to be familiar with this topic from across the country. So,
but in terms of your strategy here, your strategy as a Jewish person and with all of those rabbis who are on your side, all those Jewish organizations, I mean, there is nothing more impressive than the Anti-Defamation League, as far as I'm concerned, with you on this, that really is what you have to do because that is the one thing that will mitigate their allegations of anti-Semitism.
It's true. It's true. And I do think that having Reform Jewish Voice, which is the political arm of the Religious Action Center, mobilizing its rabbis and congregations this week to call their representatives and visit the district offices and come to Albany with us, hopefully that will make a big splash.
Okay. And the trepidation that somebody like you must have in this has got to be substantial because of the, you know, implied threats by calling you anti-Semitic, by calling others anti-Semitic. Mm-hmm. That's got to be very difficult for you, isn't it?
Well, it definitely is both upsetting to weather many insults, particularly when I'm trying to run a campaign that does not take pot shots at those school board supporters. And so I've definitely had my moments of needing to take a deep breath and think about all of the parents that I've met who I feel connected to and want to support and don't want to let down. And, you know, there are a lot of people who've put a lot on the line. You know, as you mentioned, you know, I live in Manhattan now. I don't have children. So actually, in the grand scheme of things, I am very privileged in this situation where I'm participating because I care and because I feel connected, but I don't have the same stakes involved as the parents of students who are just starting out in this district. And so that's actually what keeps me up at night when I worry that, you know, we're working so hard and things are not going to change. That is a huge concern, and ultimately it motivates me to keep going.
We've been talking to Dr. Andrew Mandel, the leader of the Strong East Ramapo Group, a volunteer advocacy organization of over 3,000 alumni and other supporters of public education in favor of oversight for the East Ramapo School District. Obviously, we would be delighted to talk to the people on the other side of this argument, and they certainly will be invited. Dr. Mandel, thanks so much for joining us today. I'm Alan Chartop.
Thank you, Alan.
Been listening to Dr. Alan Chartok, President and CEO of WAMC Northeast Public Radio and Professor Emeritus at the University at Albany. For more information on the In Conversation with Alan series, or to order additional copies of this or any interview in the series, call 1-800-323-9262 or visit us on the web at wamc.org.